You're going to have shine, and then we're going to see you downstairs for the baptism. Jackie, come and join me at the front. Give Jackie a welcome, please.
Hi. I'm so nervous, so just bear with me. And actually, David told me to write my story down. I decided not to. So, okay, so I'm going to tell you how I was saved. So, start from the beginning. I was never baptized. My mum and dad wanted to give me the choice, me and my brother, the choice if we wanted to join a religion. And then I went to a CUV school, and I remember sitting in church and thinking that when they read the Bible to us, that it was stories, like they were the way that we should live, like fables almost. I never believed or even thought they could ever be true. And on my life went, and as I got a bit older, a couple of things like happened, like sad things in my family. And I kind of felt a bit angry at God. And then as I grew up a bit more, I kind of felt, I realized you can't be angry at something that isn't real. And that was kind of my first thought. And then when I was studying, someone in my family died. And it was very sad. And I decided not to go home to the funeral. I thought it was better for me. But every night I ended up at church on my own, and I didn't understand why. But I felt kind of really relaxed there, and like I felt something there. But I ignored it. And then a couple years later, I went to Ghana. And Will and I were sitting outside our house. And these two people, they were, one was Ghanaian, one was Canadian, and they were visiting Ghana to go and talk to people about God and his good work. And we were sitting down, and the Canadian boy sits next to me, and he says, "Have you ever experienced God?" And I said, "No, I haven't." And he said, "Well, sometimes you're, you find yourself in a place, whether it's church or not, and you're overcome with a feeling. And that is God. That's God and the Holy Spirit, and that's you feeling his presence." And I realized that I had been feeling his presence in my life, but I'd been kind of shutting the door in his face every time, and I still wasn't ready to open the door. So from that moment, I sort of knew it was something I'd have to explore again, but I was so worried about what it would mean and like the power and the greatness of God. So I kept the door closed, and but knew it would be something I'd have to come back to. And then I met Charlotte. And Charlotte told me that she went to a church, and I was like, maybe I should come with you. And told her about what happened in Ghana, and said, you know, it's something I thought I should go to. And I put it off for weeks. And Charlotte kept saying on Monday morning, "Oh, are you coming to church this week?" And I kind of came just out of politeness. I was like, I've got to go. I was like, I've got to be a good colleague. I've got to go. And I came. And we were singing, and there was, like, I think it was The Lion and the Lamb, and there's these words that said that his blood breaks the chain, and it just, like, switched on in me, and I just knew it, and I couldn't not know it anymore. And then we sang Amazing Grace, and I felt this, like, swirl around me, and I thought it was the aircon at first, but it wasn't. And it came inside me, and I realized that it was the Holy Spirit. And once I knew it, I couldn't not know it. And that's my story. Now I'm here.
Okay. So after this sermon, then Jackie and Charlotte and myself are going to get changed, and then we'll go downstairs, just to say, practically speaking, careful of all the wires, and I'll explain a bit about why the wires are there. But children, well done for listening. So if you're under 10, then please go on you. And if you're over 10, then you have to stay and listen to me. What difference can a week make? So Jackie told us a little bit about her story, and her life has changed quite a lot over the last month. I think it's 4 weeks since Jackie first accepted Charlotte's invitation. People say a week is a long time in politics, and on the 23rd of June, we were, and still are, part of the European Union. We had a Prime Minister who I thought would be in term until the next general election. And then we had an opposition party who maybe were less stable than the government, but at least we had an opposition party who had shadow posts. And if you move forward from the 23rd of June to the end of the month, quite a lot had changed. We're on our way out of the European Union. David Cameron is on his way out of Downing Street, and I don't know about Jeremy Corbyn exactly, but the Labour Party's changed quite considerably, because a lot can happen in a week. A lot can happen in 1 week. Now, not all of you were here last week, but I'll just tell you what happened when I was preaching last Sunday. I first of all saw someone sitting here. I didn't notice that they looked out of the window, but I noticed they were looking a bit like this. And I thought, wow, it's powerful preaching. And then I didn't notice one of the sound people leave. Then I noticed a couple of the dads leave. And I heard the children. I thought, oh, the children must need their dads for something. And then Sally came. She was teaching the children downstairs. And Sally came in through the door as we... And I can usually tell when Sally needs to say something. And Sally said, there's a flood. Now, this wasn't a little trickle. It wasn't something that, the pipe above had burst. The children were in the room downstairs where we were going to baptise Jackie. And they had noticed along the road, within the space of 2 minutes, water come, fill up the road, overflow onto the pavement, and was coming towards the door. And so I quickly finished my preaching and said a very quick prayer, and then we went to try and make the office safe. And go forward a week. If I hadn't have told you that, maybe you wouldn't have realised that you can see a few wires downstairs. Please be careful of them. There's lots of wires downstairs. But you perhaps wouldn't have known that that was the case if you maybe have never been here before, or if you were here 2 weeks ago and weren't here last week, because a lot can change in a week. Someone made a joke about the water last week and said Jackie wasn't here. Jackie was away and said we could have had the baptism this week. I've baptised people in oceans before, but never with as much effluent as there was in the water downstairs. And that's why the cleaners have been in. So the water that you're going to see Jackie be baptised in today is very clean and very warm, in case you're concerned for her welfare. But a lot can happen in a week. So we no longer have a church office downstairs. Carlos, who leads our region and pastors our congregation in Weybridge with his wife Elmarie, we're working from home or wherever it might be, the coffee shop around the corner, because a lot can happen in 1 week. So as a church, so far in the UK, we've had quite a lot of change in the last week. Jackie's had quite a lot of change in the last month. And this isn't the end of that change. This is the end of the beginning of that change. And I'll explain a little bit about what I mean by that shortly. But let me ask you this question. What's the biggest change you've ever undergone? What's the biggest change? Don't answer aloud, but please answer in your head, because I'm going to ask some follow-up questions. What's the biggest change you've undergone? And if you need more thinking time than the next 10 seconds, please raise your hand. Let me do it this way. Everybody put your hand in the air. And when you've got your biggest change, then drop your hand. Half a hand. Everyone got a change. Okay, so the next question is this. How long did it take? And now I'd like you to answer aloud. Without saying what the change is, how long did it take? Anyone on this side? It's still in the process. Process. 6 months.
9 months.
Oh, good. Good. There may be some changes if you come back 9 months from now. Just to say, if you're here as a guest, you're welcome any week. If you've travelled far, you're also welcome any week. Some people do travel far. But if you have travelled far, it might be more practical to find a church wherever you live. And just find a church where you'll learn about the Bible. Maybe I can just say that. But you're welcome to come back here anytime. Some changes, if you come back in 9 months, I think you'll see a few changes around looking around this room. Did any of you have an instant change? Let me ask that question. Okay. Let me suggest that the biggest change every one of us in this room has undergone is our birth. And then let me ask, how long did it take? So the birth didn't take 9 months. The preparation period took 9 months. But the birth itself, labour can take a short time or a bit of a long time. And that change, what is that change? So a baby in the womb is dark, in the dark, in more ways than one, in the warm, and is safe. And then all of a sudden, labour doesn't maybe feel like all of a sudden, but in terms of the delivery of that baby, it's bright, it's cold, unless you're perhaps in a hot country, and then there's siblings, if you're not the first child. And so you get pushed around and passed around and bashed in the head or whatever it may be. It's quite a change after birth. Let me suggest another change. And I know some people in the room are married. And I didn't ask purposely what your changes are, but some of you are still undergoing those changes. Marriage is a change. Even people who lived together before being married will probably testify to the change that happens when they do marry. And 20 years ago, nearly 21 years ago, Sally and I married. And we know more now than we did then, but there's a lot we still don't know. But I almost think when we each said, "I do," we could have said, looking back now, "I do not have a clue what I'm doing." Because we had no idea. Yes, I will love you in sickness and in health. We were young, 20, 21, never really been ill. I'd had a little bit of an illness. We'd had some things in the family. Yes, I'll love you in sickness and in health. We don't know until one of us becomes sick. Then we'll find out. Then we'll have a clue what it means. So we said I do, but we're still finding out what those changes mean. And none of us in this room have undergone natural death, unless any of us did. Can show a death certificate and maybe some certification that you're now alive. But I'm going to suggest that's another change. And the reason I'm picking those three changes is because, so birth and marriage and death, is because what Jackie's going to do is in one way like each of those. In some ways, rather, it's like each one of those. It's like a birth, it's like a death, and it's like a marriage. But actually, it's not quite. Okay. Because it's not as if this is her birth. And I'll show you some scriptures, just some verses from the Bible which will appear on the screen, just to prove where I'm coming from. I'm not just making this up. It's not actually the birth, it's actually clothing of the baby. It's not actually the marriage, but rather the wedding, the ceremony. It's not actually the death, but the burial. So it's not that Jackie is being spiritually born, it's that she's being spiritually clothed and welcomed into a family. It's not that Jackie is marrying, but it is like the wedding ceremony. And it's not that she's dying, but it's like the burial. And each one of those things, the clothing, the wedding, and the burial, have to come after, respectively, the birth, the marriage, and the death. There's no good, you cannot clothe a baby that hasn't left the womb. We don't have a wedding without people being married. Hence why church ministers or registrars will sign, and then the couple getting married will sign. And we don't have a burial without a death. The birth, the marriage, the death usually take place in private. The birth, the marriage, and the death, if you think about your own or those you've been part of, for the first two, any deaths you've witnessed for the latter, for the last. They usually take place in private, and then there's a public acknowledgement of what has happened. So, our three daughters were born at St. George's, and then the boys were born by the sea in the UK and further afield. They all happened in private. And partly because I was training at St. George's in the time, we didn't want any, so I didn't really want any students in the room. But there were none around, it was a Sunday. And that happened in private, but then the clothing and her first outing happened in public. When Sally and I married, not many people witnessed, not many people actually saw that what I was writing on that paper was actually my signature. What Sally was writing was actually her signature. But lots of people participated in the wedding. And I know some of you here have to certify deaths as part of your work or may be involved in that. Usually a death is a private affair. There may be some family members around the bedside in a hospital or at home. And then we have a very public burial ceremony, a very public funeral. Let me just share three verses of scripture. It says what Jackie's about to do is like each one of those. And the first is Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Paul's writing to a church, it's a church in Galatia, and he's writing to a specific context, but everything that is in this scripture was written into a specific context, but has a relevance now. And this is what Paul says. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. If you're baptized into Christ, you've clothed yourselves with Christ. I don't often wear a jacket at church, and I hadn't intended to wear one today. Nobody has two wedding dresses. You wear one. And if you've got the best, you don't put it over your graduation dress if you are getting married after graduation. You take off the one and you put on the other. And what Paul says to the church is this: if you baptize yourself into Christ, you're clothing yourself with Christ. In other words, you've been born, but you cannot leave yourself exposed. You need to be clothed. And that's what Jackie's doing. She's quite vulnerable in as much as her spiritual life is young. And therefore, it's important that when anyone's at that stage, they become part of the body as soon as possible. And Jackie being baptized isn't her joining shofar. Jackie being baptized, and those of you who have been baptized, when you were baptized, you didn't join a specific church, you joined Christ. When I say Christ, including his body, which is the church. But it's not one specific church that you join. That's what Jackie's doing today. She's joining the church, she's clothing herself, because not to do so leaves her exposed. In the same way that not clothing a baby would leave them exposed. Part of the preparation, those of you who are mums will know. I only see one in the room, I think two in the room. Part of the preparation for the birth is preparing the bag of clothes, because this baby that's inside and is warm and cozy is going to be born into a world that's not so warm and not always cozy. That's the first verse. The second verse is in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 32. I said that God is very practical, and his word is therefore practical. And Paul wrote to another church. This is a church in Ephesus. And then he gave them instructions. He gave instructions, to husbands and to wives. And then shortly after this, he gives instructions to children and their parents. But this is what Paul says. after giving all these instructions to wives and to husbands, he says, "This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church." In other words, the reason for marriage is to be a picture of the relationship between Jesus and the church. Paul gives all these instructions, very practical instructions. There's a short paragraph for the wives. You can read it in Ephesians chapter 5. And then there's a longer paragraph for the husbands. And then he says it's a profound mystery. In other words, we don't really know all there is to know about this. But he says, I'm talking about Christ and the church. And it's that way in which Jackie has joined herself to Christ. That's the marriage. But this today, the baptism, is the celebration to make it public. Every one of us here who's going to witness it. And if you think about the days before we recorded everything and put it, I don't know, Jackie, where you, lots of people I saw filming what you said earlier. Even before the days where there were cameras, people had to be present to say, actually, I was present there and I know that this person married that person. What Jackie's doing today is publicly declaring what happened privately and personally within her. So in that way, it's like the wedding that goes with the marriage. And then the third is to a third church, a church in Rome. And Paul writes this in chapter 6 of Romans. He says, "Don't you know, verse 3, that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So Charlotte and I are going to lower Jackie into the water. For how long, you might ask? Just long enough that she's covered. And then as soon as she's been covered with water, then we're going to lift her up. And this is what Paul says to this church in Rome. When you baptize, you choose to be baptized. And this is something that Jackie's chosen. That's why it's good to hear from her lips why she's doing what she's doing. And I'll ask her a few questions a little bit later, just so that you all know what's going on, exactly what she's declaring when she gets baptized. It's good that we hear it, because what Jackie's choosing to do is to bury her own will. But so that she can be raised to God's will. Now, I don't know what that makes you feel when I said bury her own will. Some of us might think, well, my will's not up to much, therefore I should try someone else's. But I think a lot of us will think, no, I'm not doing that. Or even, is that what I was doing when I chose to be baptized? But that is what we were doing. Now, some churches christen infants, and other churches baptize. And you might think, adults, it's not what we do. We baptize believers, who are usually adults, but sometimes children. A child of a certain age can know what they believe, and therefore, if they know what they believe and can articulate what they believe, and you see a change in the life, then we can baptize a child. But the youngest I've ever baptized is just under 10. But most people are usually in their teens or perhaps a bit older, in their 20s, like Jackie. Because it's no light thing to say, I'm going to bury my will. Because once any of us say it, if we try and dig up that will, we'll end up in a mess. A burial is supposed to be a burial, and we don't usually go back to that coffin. Which is why there's been a little bit of a gap. It needn't be a gap. If you look in Scripture, you can see where people are baptized almost immediately. But it's not a bad thing to have a gap, just to make sure, am I really prepared to die to myself? In other words, am I prepared for somebody else to live in me and live through me? Am I going to give the keys to God and say, okay, you drive? And I'm going to give an opportunity for any of us just before Jackie gets baptized in a few minutes, just to say, yes, I want to do that. And it's a big call, so don't make it lightly, but don't think that you cannot make a big call here and now, because a lot can change in a week, and a lot can change in the few seconds from when a lot does change. Changes happen in the heart of a baby, they start to breathe air, and there's changes in the circulation. A lot happens immediately upon birth. A lot happens when we die, to do with the heart and the lungs and the brain. And it doesn't take long. So don't think that you cannot make a call like that, even if you don't know what's going on. Because if you ask many of us who follow Jesus, we didn't really know what was going on. When we said to Jesus, as Jackie's going to say, I'm going to ask her this question very specifically later, do you accept Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour? Now, Saviour means this: I'm in a mess and I need someone to save me. That's kind of the easy part. The difficult part is Lord. Because if I say to Jesus, you're my Lord, I can't say no when he tells me what to do. Now, I can because he gives me choice. And that's the great thing about God. I reckon not many of us here, if we were God, would give people free choice in the way that he gave us. Those of us who've been parents, it's quite a test. When your children get to a certain age and they can verbalize, and then they get to a bit older and they can argue and reason, why is it so hard? But God gives us that choice. But we can choose to give up the right to choose my own destiny. And friends, our senior pastor started Shofar 20 odd years ago, and he puts things very well. He says, God accepts us when we come to him, even though he knows we're lying. Now, we don't know we're lying, but sometimes as adults, perhaps we even still say it as children, I'll never do it again. We've got a habit, it's ingrained, I've been doing it for years, and I'm caught red-handed, I'll never do it again. I think most of us are like that. I had a conversation with one of our children this week, and it was about the child's reluctance to say sorry. And we'd noticed this, so we went for a walk, and I asked, why is it hard? And I was a bit shocked by the answer. I shouldn't have been shocked, because we always say to the children, sorry means stop. If I'm sorry that I hit you, I'm going to stop hitting you. That's kind of obvious. I'm sorry that I'm hitting you doesn't really work. But this child said, I don't say sorry because it means I never can do it again. Gosh. But most of us don't have that kind of insight. And we say to God, yes, you're my Saviour and my Lord. And there's a naivety that we all have when we do that. But God knows. He doesn't expect toddlers to behave like teenagers. He doesn't expect babies to walk or talk, spiritually speaking, in the same way that we don't expect that. We've got developmental goals that health visitors and nurses and doctors and physios will look at, and we can just see, is somebody where they should be? And the same is true with God. We develop at different rates, but the point is that we develop. And you can see, when you've been around people long enough, that there's a change. I just want to use three more verses of scripture, and then I want to do what I said I would do, which is to give people an opportunity to make the same decision that Jackie made 4 weeks ago today. But let's look at these three other scriptures. What actually changes when we decide to follow Jesus? And you can sum it up in three words, and they all begin with B. And it comes from the title of a conference I went to a long time ago, but it's stuck in my mind. There's a change in belief, there's a change in belonging, and there's a change in behavior. In other words, what I believe, to whom I belong, and how I behave all have to change. And they can change in different ways. When a baby's born, there's a change in their breathing, there's a change in the circulation in their heart. Similarly, there's changes when someone chooses to follow Christ, and there's changes in each of these three. What about a change in belief? Romans 10, verse 9. So it's just a bit further on to the same church. Paul writes this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Christ raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, those two must go together. It's easy to say something, but if we have the confession with the belief, then Paul says you will be saved. There's a change in belief. I believe that Jesus is Lord. I didn't used to, but now I do. There has to be a change in belief. And just to prove that Paul isn't the only person that we take instruction from, Peter was one of Jesus' disciples, so he was around with Jesus before Paul. But he writes this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. He says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." There's a change in belonging. Jackie now belongs to God, and because she belongs to God, she belongs to the people of God. So when we're baptized into the body. It's not me and God, buddies, just the two of us. Some of us might find that easy. There's others as well. How many of us are single children in the room? Okay, so thanks to China's one-child policy, we've got one single child. Most of us have siblings. Oh, well, all of us. Apart from Dong's got spiritual siblings, and we have to do what his natural siblings weren't able to do for him. It's not just me and mum and dad. It's not just me and mum and dad. Most parents, looking around this room, we were born in different nations. But apart from when the government imposed a policy, our parents, how many of us are firstborns? How many of us have younger siblings? Let me ask that. Okay. So every one of us who has a younger sibling can take a bit of credit. We didn't put our parents off. Because sometimes that happens. So Jackie has a younger brother, and Jackie was so good, or good enough, that she didn't put off her parents. Now, if those of us who are parents, if they turn out like Jackie, I'm sure we'll be happy. Because she's turned out well, and that's thanks to parents. That's not just to parents, but to others, any who've had that input in our lives. But this isn't about whether we turn out okay. This is about whether I'm going to run my life or I'm going to allow God to run my life. And we join the body. So Jackie joins a church that isn't perfect. And a congregation that isn't perfect. We're not perfect. And if we were and Jackie joined, then we wouldn't be. Because none of us are. None of us are. We've all had experiences of family, and we function sometimes and other times we don't. But we're family, and we know what that means. We know what belonging means. I'm a dean, Sally became a dean, and these five children are dean whether they like it or not. And one of them might want to change his name to Ronaldo, but he's a dean. And even if he changes his name to Ronaldo, he'll play football like a dean and not like a Ronaldo. Because we know what belonging means. We know what it means. Even when our families don't work, we know where we belong. We know that. There's a change in belief, there's a change in belonging, and then there has to come a change in behaviour. And if you think about, you know, the heart and the lungs, and the change in behaviour, maybe it's a bit like the neurodevelopment. It takes a bit longer. Some people follow God and immediately stop having sex, or immediately stop swearing, or immediately stop smoking tobacco. Sometimes it happens like that, but most of the time it doesn't, because fruit takes time to grow. And this is where the change in behavior comes. Back to Galatians. And towards the end of this book, in chapter 5, Paul writes this. He says, and he talks previously about all the kinds of things in which, the sinful things, and you can read that list. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Faithfulness as well, I missed that. Singing a song in my head. That did. There has to be a change in behavior. If there's not a change in behavior, then we have to ask the question, has the person changed? And that's a continual change. Now, we look at that list, 9 things. Am I completely loving all of the time? Am I 100% joyful every single day? I'm saying no already. I don't know how far you'll need to get. If any of us get through the first 8, are any of us completely self-controlled? So there has to be a change of behavior, and God doesn't expect us to graduate with a degree when we've not been to preschool. He doesn't expect that, but he expects to see change because something is different. Something is different. I said that for Jackie and for those of us who have been baptized, it's the end of the beginning, but it's just the beginning. So Jackie, again, another question I'm going to ask her is, will she follow Jesus? Does she commit to following Jesus for the rest of her life? It's not a one-off. It's not a temporary. It's for as long as I live, I'm going to follow Jesus. That's why it's not a bad thing to wait before you take that step of baptism. And just like our parents, for those of us who are not the youngest, they had us and then they had another. It's good to finish what we start. So our parents were producing a family and they didn't stop with us. Some of us are the youngest child and they did. Some of us are 1 of 4 or 5 or 3, so you have to stop at some point. One of us has 7 siblings. You don't have to stop at 2 or 3. You don't have to. But Jackie has started something that's good, and therefore she's not intending to stop. She's intending to complete. She's intending to finish. She's intending to keep on growing this fruit in her life, in the same way that all of us who follow Jesus intend to grow this fruit in our life. There has to be a change in behavior. When do people who don't go to church usually go to church? Christmas is one, but let's think funeral, yes? Not Christmas, but christenings, and then the middle one? Weddings, okay. Hatching, matching, and dispatching. That's when many people go to church who don't usually go to church. Or for those of us who do, that's when we need to shout out a few more chairs. And it's interesting, I think, that these 3 pictures that Scripture gives us are those 3. Birth, followed by the clothing. Jackie going to be changed physically when she goes into that water. It's clean water, but it's not special water. It's just water. The birth has already happened. Probably that went on inside of her is part of it. that plus the confession and the belief. Those three things. Do you always get this feeling? Not always. Some of you might be sitting there right now with that feeling. Maybe you want to act on it. But you don't have to have the feeling to act. It doesn't always work like that. And then the marriage with the wedding. The marriage happens and it's solemnized, certified when the people sign. But then it's celebrated at the wedding. And then the death happens again, usually privately. And then the burial follows. But it's different. There is a difference. The baby's clothed and protected. And Jackie is choosing to clothe herself with Christ. She's choosing to become part of the body, which other scriptures tell us is the bride of Christ being prepared. We're together being prepared. And that's why we always give an invitation to people to join, because we're not yet ready. Scripture says there's going to be people from every single nation, every tribe, every tongue in heaven before the throne of God. We were singing about the lion and the lamb. And Jesus is both of those. And that's, you know, maybe hard for us to understand, but he's both of those. A lamb who's gentle and then a lion who's strong, but he's both of those. But that's what you need. Those who, if you who are women looking for someone to marry, that's what you need. Someone who's strong and gentle. And for all of us, that's what we need. And we're being prepared for that wedding. It's not happened yet on a corporate level, because that won't happen until heaven, until after Jesus comes. But it can happen on an individual level for us, even now and even today. Would anyone choose to die? Now, some people try and take their life. And some people choose to give their life. But most of us have something inside of us that kicks in, that means we stay alive. And I believe it's only when that's suppressed for various reasons that that doesn't happen. And Jesus says that he came to give life, and that he gave his life so that we could have life. It's as if he's in this relationship and it's an exclusive one, in the way that marriage is exclusive. So he had to forego that place so that we could take his place. So that's what he chose to do. And because he chose to do that, he then gives an invitation and he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Some of us go through life feeling weary, and others of us go through life feeling full of energy. Throw in a few children and your energy begins to deplete. Throw in a job or two. Try and raise children on your own. Try and manage when there's financial difficulty or political upheaval. Look, we're going to leave the EU within a couple of years, but we still have a stable society. We still have a government that works. But Jesus says, wherever we're from, whether we're feeling full of energy or absolutely spent, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I hope it's been restful just to be part of church. Maybe some of you part of this church for the first time. You're welcome, as I said earlier, you're welcome to return. And we're going to baptize Jackie very soon. But I'm going to do what I said I would do, which is just to give an opportunity for any who want to respond. And you might not know exactly what's happening. I don't think Jackie knew exactly what was happening. That's what she said. She thought it was the aircon. And then she sang certain words and something happened inside of her. And then when anybody, you might not be the greatest preacher, but anybody reads or recites or shares scripture, it gives life. And that's what's happened to Jackie. She's not got her life from this church. She's received life from God through Jesus. And his life, which he gave upon the cross, which was then returned to him after 3 days fighting in hell to get the keys to life. He now gives that life. And his desire for me, for Jackie, and for every one of us who already follows him is the same as his desire for those who do not. He doesn't have favorites. He hasn't created some people who he wants and some who he doesn't. What he has done is given every one of us a choice. So I don't want to coerce any of you. If you want to say no, say no. But I'm just going to ask that as we close, I'm going to say a prayer. And if you want to accept Jesus, even though you might feel, you know, I've not got a clue, I don't know exactly what this means, or maybe you just have a few questions, then you can take that opportunity now. So please stand and we'll pray and then we'll close. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you speak, that whenever your word is read or heard or spoken, that we have the opportunity to respond. God, I thank you that your word brings life. I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that your word does not change, that you're not fickle in the way that we are fickle, that you don't speak that which is detrimental in the way that we often do to each other or to our children. God, I thank you that you know how we are because you made us how we are. And because you made us and you know how we are, you know what we need. And God, I thank you that you know every single one of us here. You know where we are. You know how we need to change. And God, I thank you that you're able to change, that you're able to give that which we need. So I just sense that someone here feels like their whole life has been a roundabout and they've on it. They're on this roundabout and wanting to get off. And they have never been able to do so. It's as if they're stuck on this roundabout and they want to be somewhere else. And maybe if you think that's a picture for you, you can respond. But if you think, or even you know, that something happened, either when we sung some of the words earlier, which are mostly scripture, or when they were read, then I'm just going to give you an opportunity to raise your hand now, to say, God, I'm giving my life to you. And then ask the rest of us just to close our eyes and respect just that moment of decision. And then for each one of us, however long we've been following Jesus, if there's any way in which we believe God has spoken to us this morning and said change, not only change and the condemnation that might sometimes come with that, but change and I'll be the change, then just raise your hand and after you've raised it, you can drop it. I'm just going to pray for it. If you've raised your hand, you can drop it again. God, I thank you that you give good gifts. I thank you that your life is good, that you give us everything we need for life and for godliness. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you do not condemn, but rather convict, and that that conviction inspires us to change. Father, I thank you for those who've expressed that willingness to change, even this morning. God, thank you that you wait for us to say yes. You wait for us to give consent. And that when we do, you come in, sometimes like a lion and sometimes like a lamb. And that you empower us to change. God, I thank you that you're doing that. I thank you for what you've done in the lives of many of us here. I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of those who don't yet follow you. And God, I thank you that you'll continue your involvement. You'll continue your inspiration for each life in this room. Father, I thank you for every family that's represented. Thank you that we can speak peace over families today, even those who, for whom most members are far away within this nation or across the other side of the world. God, I thank you that you're a father, that you're the father of every family in heaven and on earth, and that your desire is to increase your family. Father, I thank you that you didn't stop with different ones of us. Thank you that that inclusion into your family includes Jackie today and will include others in the future, those who are in this room and those of us who... God, I thank you, you lead us very specifically to those families, to those individuals whom your desire to save needs to be fulfilled at this time. Father, I thank you for baptisms. I thank you for rites of passage in the spiritual and in the natural that will come in this next season. Thank you, God, for fruit which is good. And thank you, God, that we can taste and see that you are good. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank Lara for being our one-woman band today. But there's a team of three at the back helping her. We're going to just break for 7 minutes or so. Make your way downstairs. The lift is not working. It's like a water shaft at the moment. But most of you don't need to get changed. You shouldn't get wet. If you want to ask any questions about what you've seen or heard today, or you want prayer, then I'll encourage you to take that opportunity now. So if you're desperate for the toilet or you need a quick drink, have one. We're going to have some more food and drink after the baptism. But if you want to chat, I'd encourage you just to go to the room behind so that anybody who does want to receive prayer can do that in quiet while we're here now. And then we'll meet downstairs in about 7 minutes or so from now.